NBA writer for ESPN, one of the absolute best in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Brian, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with this. We are, as the flagship of the Warriors, very close to this situation. So perhaps we look at this scenario between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green through a different shade of lens. As a national reporter on the outside looking in, is this situation as bad as it may appear to us?
I don't think it's really that bad in terms of the interpersonal relationship. I mean, Draymond does stuff every single year that people have to come behind and clean up. It happens all the time. This is, and it's more of an extreme case, but it just reveals something that was being held down, which is that the whole organization is thinking about Durant possibly leaving. That was there below the surface, and it wasn't becoming an issue, and the team was having a really good time together. I really thought one of the things that they had done early in the season was kind of rediscovered that joy that they had a couple of years ago that was missing last year. And that's all been blown up a little bit because this has now come to the surface. But it was always there. And maybe it was always destined to bubble up. And maybe it would have happened in January. Maybe it would have happened in May. But it was always destined to bubble up. And to me, that's just what this reveals. This reveals that there isn't a day that goes by where this isn't on the mind of people within the organization. I don't really care about Draymond getting into a fight with one of his teammates. We know that that's happened again in the past and will happen again.
But what you write in your piece is that Kevin Durant is the most powerful person in the NBA. So isn't it then important for Draymond Green and for the Warriors organization to do what they can to try to keep Kevin Durant happy? Because when he, at the end of this year, decides to opt out, if he does, they're going to want to still be the number one suitor.
Which is why I suspect they came down so hard on this. Now, I am not in the locker room with the team every day. And so because of that, it's difficult for me to know whether they were reacting to this as a standalone event or they were reacting to this as a buildup. But to me, the punishment was pretty severe for a standalone event, for a verbal altercation to be not only suspended, but publicly suspended and publicly reprimanded at a press conference and fined $120,000, which is a lot of money. That seems to me to be awfully severe unless there's some other thing going on. And so the thing that I extrapolate from that is that they're putting Durant's well-being and making sure that they make it as loud and clear as possible. They have Durant's back, as public as possible because they want Durant to feel supported. And they're doing that because he's so damn powerful with what he holds in his hands next summer.
No question. There's another guy that gets the same type of a treatment at times because he has that type of gravitas and that type of power. LeBron James, how is this team looking to you, and what do you think about where they're at right now in this process?
LeBron has never had the same power that Durant has because Durant has the power to not only change a team that he would go to, but he has the power to break up or at least severely wound one of the possible great dynasties in NBA history. I think LeBron's power was on display most in 2014 when literally the entire free agent market was frozen for 5-6 days on end waiting for him to make a decision because he controlled every scenario in the league. But he wasn't breaking up a dynasty. They had not won the championship the year before, and they were a great team, but they were not like the Warriors. So even with what LeBron has done in the past, the situations that he's been in, the only thing I can compare this to would have been if Michael Jordan in 1993, after winning that first three-peat, if he had like seriously considered going to another team. That's the only thing I can compare where Durant is right now. But as far as if you're asking me about the Lakers, the Lakers are a flawed team that has a couple of really talented players and will have nights when they look great, but will probably not be able to overcome their flaws. They're a playoff team in my mind. They were always a playoff team. Their health and the way they manage their flaws will determine to me whether they're the 5 seed or the 8 seed. And this was what happens a lot of times when you see teams who add stars in free agency. That first year, because they've gassed all their sort of cap space on one guy, it takes them a year to get their legs up underneath them. That was one of about 900 amazing things about Durant getting the Warriors is they were able to add the number one free agent on the market and already have a loaded team that he was going on to. That was just incredibly rare. So, you know, go back and look at when LeBron went to the Heat. They had great players, but they had no supporting system. It took them a year, and then they won the title. Cleveland, same thing. They were good, but they had no supporting system. They got a couple of supporting players. They win the title the second year. So to me, the Lakers were always ticketed to be much better in 1920 than they were in 1819.
ESPN's Brian Windhorst joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Based on your discussions with players, front office executives, obviously it's still very early, but what's the general sense you get? Do you get the sense that Kevin Durant will not play for the Warriors after the season?
I think, if you look at it, LeBron was a free agent 4 out of 5 summers, believe it or not. And most of those summers, there was no sweat. Like, he was definitely re-signing. But for some reason, like, he never said anything. He never gave any indication. But it was very clear to everybody involved a year ago that LeBron was going to be pretty available on the market the coming year. It was just known. It was just understood. And this is going to be the fourth consecutive summer that Durant will be a free agent. I mean, it's crazy, but that's going to be the case. In the last couple of summers, even last year when, there was a little bit of a disturbance in the force, there was never anybody really concerned about Durant walking. It was like, well, look, he's a part of a championship team. Everything's great. But very clearly here, and, Draymond is just articulating what everybody is already feeling, the expectation is going to be that Durant is going to be available. I think anybody who would make a call and say they know for sure on free agency about anything in November would be fooling themselves. I mean, you could say something and end up being right, but you'd just be right out of circumstance. Free agency to me is a lot like an NBA game. You would never say an NBA game is over in the first quarter. I don't care if it's a 25-point game. We've all seen things turn around. You would never say a game is over in the fourth quarter if a team is up by 10 and there's 3 minutes to go. That's just the nature of the game. So we're in the first quarter here. There's no way I'm going to sit here, anybody can sit here and say they know what's going to happen. But there's definitely a feeling out there that Durant will look around. And that is enough to put the Warriors on edge. And I think that you've seen that manifest itself several times over.
What do you think will be the biggest mitigating factors for Kevin Durant in his decision? Will it be the idea of continuing a dynasty if they win? Will it be the sense of him trying to carve his own path elsewhere if they win or lose? What do you think will be the number one determining factor in all this?
Only Kevin knows that. And, I think this is where you kind of get into trouble. People in my job is when you try to know exactly what's going on inside a player's head. It seems to me that he is sensitive to the way he is perceived and that perception could end up being a factor here. But I don't really 100% know whether he's happy playing for the Warriors. I mean, I would think he would be happy. It looks like the most amazing dream scenario. I mean, you could play in the NBA. You could be a part of the NBA for 50 years and never be able to recreate the situation that they have built, both through great management, great playmaking, and just plain old-fashioned luck. And to me, it's kind of like being on a hit TV show. You look at all these guys who left, like ER. Yeah, there was George Clooney, but there was a 100 other Eric LaSalle's who went off and never went again. You could be in television for 80 years and never be on another show like ER. I would hold on to that sucker until it was right into the ground. To me, if I was on the Warriors, my personality would be I would hang on for dear life and hope that it would never end. Not everybody feels that way. Not everybody believes in it. Some people believe that they can go do other things, even if they're on the absolute smash hit of the century. So only Kevin really is going to know that. And I know that some people will try to guess, but that will just be guessing.
Brian, based on how important Kevin Durant is to the NBA, how important he is to the Warriors who are trying to open up Chase Center, do you see a potential scenario where if ownership would have to choose between him and Draymond Green, they would choose him and Draymond Green would have to go?
Well, in a vacuum, if you were in a vacuum and you had to choose between maybe the best player in the league, and somebody who's not the best player, you'd always choose the best player. But, excuse me, it's not a vacuum. One of the things about the Chase Center, and again, one of the reasons why the Warriors are maybe a once-in-a-50-year thing, that sucker is going to be an absolute cash cow for them. And, you know, people have talked about, oh boy, can they afford a $400 million payroll? Yeah, they can. They can afford it. They couldn't afford it maybe in Oklahoma City. They couldn't afford it, you know, maybe in Utah. They can afford it. So if it's a decision to change the roster, it won't be because they can't pay them, at least in my viewpoint and my understanding of the situation.
Great stuff, as always. NBA writer for ESPN, Brian Windhorst, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Brian, thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend. Have a terrific Thanksgiving. Hopefully we can do it again in the future.
Wow.
Thanks, guys. Take care.